This is Lorne Greene. On some distant western plain in 1891, a bunch of Texas cowboys huddle around a campfire. The trail herd is bedded down, and the exhausted drovers welcome the peace and quiet that nightfall brings. Zach Barnett, the weather-beaten old trail boss, glances up at the Big Dipper. The position of the constellation in the sky tells him it's time to change the night guard.
Dixie, you got the third watch. Better get to it.
I know. Don't seem like a fella never gets a chance to sleep around here.
What are you kicking about? You can sleep all winter when the drive's over.
I reckon.
Trouble with you boys is you got it too easy nowadays. You don't know what it's like to be on a real trail drive, pushing a couple thousand longhorns up in Texas. No trail to follow except the one you make as you go along. I reckon them days is gone forever. Railroads made sure of that. That's why I count myself lucky. I came up the Goodnight Lovin' Trail with that first herd of longhorns.
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week, brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, The Goodnight Loving Trail, by Steve Sharon. Our stars, Jeff Corey, Sam Edwards, and Herb Rudley.
By the 1890s, cattle are shipped to marketplace by rail. The days of moving great herds north and long trail drives are over. It's the end of an era. But one old trail hand remembers how it was in the beginning.
Back in 65, Reconstruction and carpetbaggers had dropped on Texas like a flight of hungry vultures. There was too much beef and too much of that good-for-nothing Reb money. One thing there wasn't enough of was good cowhands. War, it seemed to that. I was just a button then, but I could set a horse as good as some that were bigger and older. And when Charlie Goodnight got back from the war, he'd give me my first job. I weren't with the outfit long when Comanche stampeded one of the herds and drove me. Now, Charlie, he didn't take too kindly to that. So we all lit out after cattle next day. There was 14 of us, including Charlie's stepbrother and partner, Wes Sheik, and one-armed Bill Wilson. We trailed him for 25 miles, all the way to the Brazos River, where we stopped.
Come on, Charlie, what are we stopping for? Are we going out to the herds?
Nope. We ain't too far behind him, Charlie. I've been studying the signs like you showed me.
And what did you find, Zach boy?
Well, I didn't count any bug tracks crossing them hoof prints. And you said that's a sure way to tell if they're fresh.
Well, you're right, Zach. You read signs almost as good as a ranger.
But not as good as you.
Well, if you'd counted the unshod pony tracks and the number of moccasin prints, you'd know there's just too many Comanche for us to go after the herd. Ain't that so, Bill?
Yeah, unless Zach wants to get his hair lifted by them thieving varmints.
Oh, no, thanks. I reckon I like my scalp right where it is.
So that's it, huh? We're just going to let the herd go. Don't see we got much choice, Wes.
Well, that is the damnedest thing I ever heard of.
After all we've worked for,
what do we get to show for it? Nothing but a seat full of blisters.
I don't like it any more than you. We best head back and protect what's left of the herd.
Well, I reckon Charlie had about enough of rustlers, Injuns, and Reconstruction. But if he had a plan, he was keeping it to himself.
Charlie, Wes, could you come outside?
Sure, Bill. Anything wrong?
Well, just me and some of the men like to have a word with you.
Howdy, boys.
Howdy, Charlie.
Well, what is it, men?
Well, I don't know if you and Charlie heard the talk, but Word has it that some of the outfits hereabouts is getting ready to make a drive up Kansas way.
Yeah, we heard.
And I reckon all of Texas will be heading north to trade cattle for some of them Yankee dollars.
Yeah, that's the way we figure it.
Slash Y's looking for trail hands right now.
Yeah, and they're paying $25 a month to find any hand that finishes the drive. And they ain't the only ones. The spur outfit's looking for hands, too.
I see.
Well, naturally, we'd since work for you and Wes, Charlie, but times is tough.
That's why we come.
Yeah, we know how hard hit you've been, what with engines and rustlers running all parts of your herd. We figured...
What we want to know is, are you going to Kansas?
Oh, ma'am, there's nothing I'd like more than to drive our cattle up to the railhead, but... And I would, too, if it wasn't from a partner here. Charlie is dead set against Kansas, and he's got final say.
In that case, I reckon we'll want to be drawing our wages.
Hold on, Bill. Wes is right. I am against Kansas. But come spring, we'll be shaping up a trail herd just the same. We're going west. To Colorado.
Colorado?
But there ain't no trail to Colorado.
What do you want to go that way for? You must be local.
That's what I told him.
Two reasons. First, if everybody in Texas takes the herd to Kansas, beef prices are bound to be lower. In Colorado, they got more mining camps than a cow has flies. They need beef, and they figure to be good money in it for the one that brings it to them. Now, second, there's good range land up there, and if for some reason they can't sell my cattle, well, at least I can hold them.
Sounds awful chancy.
Yeah, that's mighty hard country between here and Colorado. And like Zach says, ain't no trade.
I'll pay top dollar to any hand that signs on. If I lose the herd, you'll all get paid just the same. You got my word on it.
All right, I'll go.
I reckon you can count me in, too.
In the spring of 66, Charlie began shaping up his herd, what was left of it. Thanks to engines and rustlers, there was barely 1,000 head of cattle. When the time came to buy provisions for the drive, me and Charlie rode into Mr. Loving's store in Belknap.
And I want a 5-gallon keg of sourdough and a jug of vinegar. And some dried apple.
Oh, don't forget the chewing tobacco. You know how one-armed Bill likes a good chaw.
Yeah, thanks, Zachy. Give me some plugs of that chewing tobacco.
Hey, good night. I hear you're making a drive to Colorado.
That's right.
I reckon I'll pay my respects now, because you're the biggest damn fool I ever seen if you think you'll make it alive. No man ever took a herd to Colorado and lived to tell about it.
I did it. Back in 60.
Look. Howdy, Mr. Loving.
Charlie.
You took a herd to Colorado?
Drove north to Kansas, then west along the Arkansas River, all the way to Puebla.
Well, I reckon you might drive that trail and still keep your scalp, but not if you go the way Goodnight's planning.
You got another trail in mind, Charlie?
Yes, sir, Mr. Loving. I have.
I'd like to see it, if you don't mind.
No, sir. The fact is, I was sort of hoping I'd meet up with you before I started.
Good. Let's go in the back room and we can talk.
Uh-huh. Mr. Oliver Loving was 54 years old then. He'd been in the cattle business about 20 years, and I reckon he knew more about beef than any man on the frontier. He had an education and was real religious-like. Charlie was a hellraiser in them days. But you could tell he had respect for Mr. Loving.
And so I figure the safest way is swing southwest instead of going north.
The old Butterfield mail route.
Yeah, it'll add several hundred miles to the drive.
But with luck, you won't run into any Comanches or Kiowa.
Exactly. Now, we'll strike for the middle concho where we can lay over and water the herd. Then drive across the 96-mile desert and reach Horseshoe Crossing on the Pecos.
That'll mean going without water for 6 days.
You think we can make it?
Oh, it's a gamble, Charlie, a big gamble. Well, the plan seems sound enough, but that's hard country.
I know it is, sir.
Charlie, if you let me, I'd like to go with you.
Let you? Well, I reckon there's nothing I'd like more. I need your advice, Mr. Lovin, and your help.
Fine. I'll shape up my herd, and the good Lord willing, we'll go to Colorado together.
On June 6th, 1866, the most important day in young Charlie Goodnight's life, he and Oliver Loving began their historic attempt to blaze a new trail from the Texas frontier all the way to Colorado.
Mr. Loving and young Charlie threw their herd together just outside Belknap. 2,000 head of longhorns and 18 men to move.
Mr. Loving, I'd be obliged if you'd take charge of the drive.
Oh, nonsense, Charlie. You should be trail boss. This is your drive.
All the same, I'd feel a dang sight better with someone of your savvy boss in the herd.
You mean age. Very well, Charlie. You and One Arm Bill take the point, then.
All right, Miss Lennon.
Shiloh and Wes will ride swing.
All right.
Zach, you got the drives with Simp and Big Jim.
You.
The rest of you men spread out on the flanks. Helmet, and let's go to Colorado, boys.
When we reached the headwaters of the Concho, we held the herd until they drank their fill. Then we filled our canteens and water barrels and pushed on into the desert.
Stretch that water, boys. It's got to last another 6 days.
We trailed the herd from sunup until late at night, trying to get through that furnace as quick as possible. It was when I was riding night guard that we got our first sign of trouble.
Rider, come in.
What are you doing back in camp, Zach? Your shift's still got another hour yet.
I know, Mr. Loving, but we can't get the herd to bed down. Driving them so far without water's made them cattle too thirsty and restless.
I was praying this wouldn't happen.
They just keep milling about out there. We're having the devil's time trying to hold them. I'm sorry, Mr. Loving.
I understand, Zach. Sorry, boys. Looks like it's going to be a long, sleepless night.
Ain't they all? Are you heard, Mr. Lemon? Everybody, off and on. Off your butts and on them horses. Mr. Loving, this will never do. We can't camp anymore until we're through this desert. If them cattle want to walk, we'd best put them back on the trail instead of trying to hold them.
I guess you're right, Charlie. You take charge and see what you can do.
All night and all next day, we moved on. Our lips cracked open under the hot sun. The alkali dust choked our parched throats. If it was bad on us, it was worse on the cattle. Their ribs looked like bed slats, and their tongues were dragging in the dust. The strain of the desert was bearing down on all of us, even the best of friends.
Bill, you're letting the herd get too strung out. Now close it up.
You know, this sheep stuff can't go a little faster, Wes. I'll back the leaders if you don't like the pace.
I don't like it, and I'm telling you, close it up.
If you think you can do better, then you ride drag.
If I do, I won't be losing cattle the way you're doing. You must have lost near 100 head thanks to you.
You saying I can't do my job?
If we had hired a man with two arms, maybe we'd keep more cattle.
Why, you...
Break it up! Break it up, Austin! If the Lord intended men to fight like dogs, he'd give them longer teeth and claws. What's got into you boys?
Nothing.
You two want to lock horns, that's your business, after we finish the drive. Till then...
It's my fault. I didn't mean what I said, Bill. I reckon the heat's made me a mad tetchy.
I know that part. That's my fault for getting so riled.
What's the matter?
Nothing, just a case of frayed nerves.
Anybody seen Zach?
He was up on the line just a little while ago.
Come on, Bill. Better help me find him.
There's the kid's horse.
Hey, he ain't on it. Maybe he got thrown.
No, Zach's too good a rider to get left a foot in this country. He must be in some kind of trouble. Or he'd be...
There he is. There he is. On that ground, near that brush.
Zach. Zach, are you all right?
What's the matter? Is it engines? What's wrong?
You fell off your horse. That's what's wrong.
I did? Oh, I reckon I fell asleep.
Fell asleep, huh? Oh, some kind of head you
are. Zach, you knothead.
I'm sorry. I'm just so blame tired I can't keep my eyes open.
Yeah, I know. We could all use a good night's sleep.
Here, kid, take some of this baccy. You just chew that up real good and rub some of the juice in your eyes.
Tobacco juice in my eye? What for?
It'll sting like hellfire, but it'll keep your eyes open.
It did sting like hellfire, but that was the last time I ever fell asleep in the saddle. Well, we pushed on. Canteens went dry. By the next day, the water barrels were empty, too. We had to suck on cartridges to stop the thirst.
No use, Charlie. The sea stuffing calves can't keep up. I'm afraid we'll have to leave them behind.
Yeah, I reckon we ain't got much choice. How many you figure we'll lose?
Maybe 100 head.
That's a hell of a lot of cows.
I'll save what I can, but if we don't get some water soon, we'll lose the whole herd.
Zach, ride down the line and collect the canteens from the men.
Right, Charlie.
If you'll take over, Mr. Loving, Zach and I can scout ahead for a water hole.
Go ahead, Charlie.
The poison?
Yeah. Alkali. Damn this desert for a hellhole.
What do we do now, Charlie?
Push on, Zach. Push on and pray we find water in time to save the herd.
Parched with thirst, Charlie Goodnight and young Zach Barnett rode on ahead of the herd in search of water. They found it in the form of an alkali hole, which would have meant sure death to them and their cattle.
I was beginning to think we'd never find good water, and that I'd made my first and last drive and was going to die right there in the desert.
Zach! Look, there!
What? Ain't nothing but an old swallow.
Unless the heat's got to me, that swallow's carrying mud to build a nest.
And mud means water.
We must be near the Pecos. Feel a breeze?
Yeah. And it smells downright wetsome.
Better hurry, Zachy boy. I might just drink the whole damn Pecos.
Oh, not if I get there first.
We filled the canteens and got back to the herd. Just knowing we was getting near water cheered the men, and we thought our troubles were over. It was 2 o'clock in the morning when some of the cattle started acting up.
What's got into the herd, Charlie? They're starting to act crazy.
They smell the water, and they're fixing to run for it.
I don't think we can hold them.
We'll have to turn the herd south, away from the alkali hole. If they get in there, we'll never get them back.
Stampers!
All hands in the cook! Turn them south! Turn them south!
When the cattle reached the river, they didn't stop, but poured right over the bank, taking horses and riders with them. The ones in front got pushed out with Everett getting a drink, so they turned back and added to the confusion. Yeah, we spent 2 long days trying to save the herd from the river and the quicksand.
I've never been so dog tired in all my life.
All I want to do is close my eyes for about a month or two.
You did a good job today, man. Get yourself some grub and try and catch some sleep.
Okay,
Send in your mocha. Here's the coffin.
You look pretty tired yourself, Mr. Loving. You ain't slept for the last 4 days.
Oh, I'll be all right, but I'd be better if we hadn't lost so many cattle.
Damn that Pecos River. I hate it. It's worse than the Indians ever were.
And now, Charlie, won't do any good to blame the river for our trouble.
Why shouldn't I? The damn thing drowned over 100 head of our cattle. Not to mention another 100 we'll have to leave behind in the quicksand. I tell you, that Pecos is the graveyard of the cowman's hopes.
If that was all we lost, it wouldn't be so bad, but counting those we left back on the trail, we've lost almost a third.
This drive's had nothing but bad luck since the start.
Well, as the good book says, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward.
You might be right, Mr. Loving. Sometimes I think them troublesome sparks is flying right up my britches.
The herd settled down now that they had the water they needed. We recrossed the river and headed up the Pecos some 20 miles where Charlie said we'd find grass. What we found was damn little grass and about 1 million rattlesnakes.
Cussed varmints!
Seems to me you're wasting a lot of cartridges shooting them rattlers, Bill.
Well, I got plenty. Chance, I like to cut off the rattles and save them. I'm sending them to my sweetheart.
We pushed on into New Mexico. The country began to change as we went. The grass got greener and the drive got easier. Except for the job I had to do every morning.
Day's wasting! Everybody up! Off and on! Cookie says he'll throw breakfast in the creek if he don't come and get it. Shiloh, take a man and spell Wes and Big Jim on guard. Morning, Mr. Loving.
Good morning, Charlie. Fred, I got some bad news. We got 8 new ones.
What?
We never should have put a mixed herd on this trail. It's making the cows drop too soon.
Well, there's only one thing to do.
Zach?
Yeah, Charlie?
Take my gun and some cartridges and ride out to the bed ground. 8 more dropped during the night.
Charlie, I sure wish you'd get somebody else to do it. I just don't like to kill them little calfies.
Well, Zach, I don't either, but it has to be done.
You know they won't be able to keep up with the herd, and it's better than letting the wolves get them.
I'll do it, but I sure won't like it.
There's a good lad.
For the camp!
Those aren't any of our boys.
No, they ain't. Well, let's see what they want.
Come on in.
I smelled your fire. Mind if me and my 2 pars have some of that coffee?
Help yourself. Where are you boys from?
Fort Sumner.
Aren't you 3 taking an awful big gamble riding through this country?
We thought we'd take a chance now that the Navajos and Mescaleros are back on the reservation. And Comanches don't usually come this far west unless they got a good reason. Say, you didn't bring them longhorns all the way up from Texas, did you?
We sure did.
I never thought I'd see that happen. I reckon you're headed for Fort Sumner, then.
No, we're headed up Colorado way.
Huh? Price of beef must be awful good up there to make you pass up the reservation.
What do you mean?
Ain't you heard? The Indians are starving, and the government is buying all the beef they can lay their hands on to feed them.
What? Are you sure?
Sure, I'm sure. That's why I'm in such a hurry to get back to my own herd.
How much are they paying?
8 cents a pound on the hoof for 2, 3s and up. Yahoo!
Saddle up, boys! We're going to Fort Sumner! Thanks for passing the word!
Don't mention it!
Thorn Green again, and here's the 4th act of the Goodnight Loving Trail.
At Fort Sumner, Charlie and Mr. Loving sold all the steers for $12,000 in gold. Mr. Loving pushed on to Colorado, while Charlie went home in time to get another herd on the trail before winter. That first try showed that there was a new trail for Texas Longhorns, but that weren't enough. The trail had to be held against Injuns and rustlers. All of Texas was watching to see if Goodnight and Loving could keep the way open that next year.
What with all the delays we've had, we'll never make Santa Fe in time to bid on those cattle contracts.
Ain't much we can do about it, Mr. Loving. The herd can only move so fast.
That's just my point. Maybe I should go on ahead.
Well, Wes is in Fort Sumner. If we're late, he'll go on to Santa Fe and make a bid for us.
Now, don't get me wrong, Charlie. Your stepbrother is a good man, but he's short on experience. I'd just as soon be there when they put up the contracts.
It's too dangerous. Especially now that the Comanche know we're moving cattle through these parts. They've already attacked the herd once.
I've decided to go anyway, and there's nothing you can say that'll change my mind, Charlie.
Zach?
Yo?
Ride down the line and tell One-Armed Bill I want him.
Sure, Charlie.
Since I can't talk you out of it, Mr. Loving, I'm sending Bill Wilson with you. He's the best man in the outfit, and you just might get through with him. But only if you ride at night and hide out during the day.
Don't worry, Charlie. I'm sure the good Lord will protect us.
I hope so, Mr. Loving. I sure do hope so.
Well, for the first 2 days, Bill and Mr. Loving did just like they promised. Riding at night and laying low during the day.
Sun's been up 2 hours now, Mr. Lovin. Best to get under cover.
Well, if it's one thing I hate, it's night riding. We haven't seen any sign of Indians yet. I'd just as soon keep on going.
Yeah? All right with me. Charlie ever found out we didn't do like he said, he'd sure be riled.
Well, then the best thing to do is not to tell him, eh, Bill?
Damn, it's that cussing Comanche. Now, quick, off your horse and up them rocks. Well, we're in it now, ain't we, huh?
They got our horses.
Let them go. Maybe that'll satisfy them enough to let us keep our hair.
I don't think so. How many do you think there are?
Enough to make it uncomfortable.
You speak any Spanish, Bill? Maybe we can talk them into it.
Don't move, Mr. Levin. Let me take a look.
Oh, how bad?
Looks like a ball went clean through your wrist and worked its way into your side. Here, use my whack to stop the bleeding. Mr. Lovin, we'll be getting high.
Listen to me. Moon's going down. It'll be dark enough for you to slip across the river now.
What?
Charlie and the others, they're only a day and a half behind us. If you can hold out...
No. I just can't leave you here to them devils.
I'm dead. Please, go to Charlie. I want him to tell my family what happened.
What, Mr. Lovin?
Tell them I didn't let the Comanches take me. That I went into the river and shot myself rather than be tortured to death. Please. It's important that they know how I died.
All right. Then I'll be back. I'll leave you the handguns.
If the Lord wills it, and I do hold them off, I'll slip downstream a couple of miles and hide.
Well, we'll look for you there, then.
Here, take my Henry. The cartridges are waterproof.
All right, but if you hear them engines laughing, You know they seen me. The sight of a one-armed man holding out a rifle while he tries to swim a river, bound to look downright at you. Good luck, Bill. Yeah. I'll be back. I remember I was pointing a herd with Charlie when we both saw something move up in the hills.
Zach, did you see that?
Yeah. What'd you figure it is?
Could be a Comanche scout. Better tell the men to shape the herd for a fight. I don't want to get caught out.
There it is again. It's an engine, all right.
No. He's giving me the frontier sign to come to him.
I think he's white.
Maybe it's a trick.
We'll soon find out. Come on.
It was one-armed Bill Wilson. He was in bad shape. We took him back to camp, but it wasn't until next day before he could tell us what happened. Charlie took six men and headed up the Pecos to where Bill said the fight took place. Searched all day, but there was no sign of Mr. Loving. And we pushed on.
Herd's all bedded down, Charlie.
Thanks, Zach. You better get yourself some grub.
I'm coming in, Charlie.
It looks like Wes.
I thought he was supposed to be in Fort Sumner.
What are you doing here, Wes?
I got tired of waiting for you. Figured I'd best ride out and see if you're all right. We're all right. But I got some bad news.
Oh?
Mr. Loving was killed by Injuns 2 weeks ago down on the Pecos.
No, Loving is at Fort Sumner.
Impossible.
Well, Loving is kind of poorly, and he's under the post doctor's care, but he's a long way from dead.
Zach?
I'll settle up.
So he got away from them Comanches after all, huh?
Yeah. When nobody came, he slipped into the river and made his way upstream. Some Mexicans found him and took him into Fort Sumner. He's really anxious to see you, Charlie.
Not half as anxious as I am to see him.
Yeah, we rode all day and all night. 110 miles it was. By dawn the following day, we were in Fort Sumner.
The wind on his side is healing fine. It's the arm that's got me worried.
What's the matter with it?
Gangrene. I'm afraid that it'll have to be removed.
Oh, Lordy.
Do what you have to, Doc.
No, not me. See, I've never amputated a limb before. I can't do it.
You've got to. You're the only doctor within 200 miles.
No, I really shouldn't. You see, the man's
not... You know what I think? You want to let Mr. Loving die because he's a Texan, and you'd just as soon get rid of one more Johnny Reb. Well, Doc, you either operate or this world's going to be shy another Yankee.
Very well. I'll amputate his arm.
Taken a long time.
Why don't you try to get some sleep, Charlie? If anything happens, I'll let...
How is he, Doc?
To tell you the truth, I don't know. The artery was exceedingly large. He's lost a lot of blood. I did the best I could.
I know, Doc, and I'm obliged to you.
And now I want to tell you just what a fool you are.
What?
I'm a Scotsman. I've only been in America 2 years, and I don't know a damn thing about your rebels, and I couldn't care less. I didn't operate on Lovey because I didn't know if he could stand an anesthetic. But since you insisted, well, you just be thankful that your partner didn't die right then and there.
Well,
But after everything Mr. Loving been through, shock was just too much for him. He lived for 22 days, getting weaker and weaker, till finally, Charlie?
I'm here, Mr. Loving.
Oh, my young friend. I should have taken your advice. If I had, maybe I wouldn't have... Well, it's too late now. I want to ask you a favor, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
Do you think you could continue our partnership after I'm gone? Just until my debts are paid off and my family's provided for.
I'd do that anyway, Mr. Loving.
Thank you, Charlie. I know you'll keep your promise. My only regret is that I won't be buried in Texas. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Don't worry, Mr. Loving. I'll see you get home.
Will you, Charlie? Oh, that'd be real nice. You're a good friend. I'm going to miss you. Charlie kept his promises. From that day on, whenever someone spoke of Mr. Loving, Charlie'd get real quiet. My old partner, he'd say. And we all knew he was thinking about the old days. The trail was open, and Charlie kept it that way. Texas had a new market for their longhorns. A year later, Charlie pushed the trail up into Wyoming. And later, it stretched up Montana way, where they called it the Texas Trail. But most know it as the Goodnight Loving Trail, in honor of the two men that pioneered it. I'm proud to say I rode with both of them.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you five nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, The Goodnight Loving Trail, was written by Steve Sharon and produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Your host was Lauren Green. Our stars were Jeff Corey, Sam Edwards, and Herb Rudley. Featured in the cast were Corey Burton, Robert Easton, Tom Brown, and William Lally. The music for Radio Theater was composed and conducted by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliot Lewis production of Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI.
This is Andy Griffin. Join us tomorrow at this same time. I've got another story I think you'll find riotously amusing.